There's obviously many things to speak about in this week's parsha, but I came across something, two yisodos, that I think are very important. When Yaakov brings the food to Yitzchak, Yitzchak asks Yaakov, "Mazem yiharta lumtzer b'ni? Why do you bring me food so fast?" Now, we all know the reason why he brought food fast was because his mother gave him the food. He didn't have to go to the field to get the animal, right? Why is it that he was fast that day? So the honest response should have been, or not say anything, or to say, you know, I had it here anyway. But it sounds to be somewhat not so truthful, because he makes it sound like, oh, what does he respond to? Hashem placed it before me. So the Sefer Zera Shimshon says, what's going on here? Yaakov seems to be, we can't say it, but not saying the truth. It's like he went out to the field, he got the animal, and he had siyata d'shmai, and Hashem hikra Hashem lokech lefanai. So it says the Zera Shimshon, no. Yaakov Avinu is teaching us a tremendous lesson. He's saying Hashem hikra Hashem lokech lefanai means even the fact that my mother prepared the food and gave it to me right here and I didn't have to leave the house, that's also from Hashem. A person thinks in his life, you know, the things that he has, the things that are stable, the things that are constant, that's not so much from Hashem. That's automatic. Right? If a person has, let's just say like this, a person, let's say, has a regular job, and he makes his salary. So a person oftentimes thinks, oh, it's his boss who's paying him. Orchus Tzadikim speaks about this, Barichus, in Shara Simcha. He thinks, oh, that's automatic, my boss is paying me. He doesn't realize it's Hashem. And then all of a sudden, when he scratch off game, and he wins $1,000, he said, oh, Hashem gave me Siyata Dishmaya. Right? Hashem made an ace for me. Oh, I made $1,000 in scratch off game. Hashem. Hello? Right? The monthly paycheck from your boss is also Hashem. That's what Zera Shimshon is saying, what Yaakov is saying. Yaakov is saying, Hikra Hashem lokech lefanai. He's not saying, oh, I happened to walk out to the woods and I found the catch so fast. No. Even what I had in the house, even what I had from Rivka Imenu, from my mother, that's from Hashem. And it's such a huge lesson in life. We always take for granted the constants in our life. I wake up this morning, I drive, I have a car, I'm able to go on the bus. What do you mean? That's also Hashem. That's totally Hashem. It's a tremendous yisod, says the Zera Shimshon. I have to tell you that this is from Rav Melech Biederman. I actually read this, and I also listened to him on the way here. And it's unbelievable. I mean, obviously, he's living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is he internalizes these yisodos. It's all Hashem. He quotes Rav Vosner. He quoted a certain Rabbi Friedman. I forgot who exactly he was. He quoted Rav Vosner saying the following. We know that the Gemara tells us the Matronisa asked, what's Hashem doing all these times? So the Gemara tells us he's mezavik zivugim, which means he's matchmaking. The Matronisa tried to do it, and all the matches that Shiduchim that she made didn't work out. Says Rav Vosner Zatzal that mezavik zivugim doesn't simply mean he's making Shiduchim. Zivugim could also mean meetings. And, meetings. Meaning, what's the Kaddish Baruch Hu doing? Every meeting that's happening in this world, where everybody is, that's what the Kaddish Baruch Hu is doing. You met this person, you met that person, you found that job, you went to that yeshiva, you went to that yeshiva, you went to that chavrusa. HaKaddish Baruch Hu, what's he doing in Shemaim? He's mizaving zivukim. Everything that happens in our life is being done by Kaddish Baruch upstairs. We know the Gemara in Chulin that he quotes often, that you can't pick up your pinky without it being nigzar, without it being decreed upstairs in Shemaim. Nothing happens without the Gzeres Hashem. Everything's Hashem. So the fact that that Rivka gave Yaakov the food to give to Yitzchak, is also Mamash Kiyikra Hashem Lefanai. He says, furthermore, he says that, Murdik. He says in this week's parasha, when Yaakov Avinu, by the Mesh Arim, is an amazing thing. Perchavav, Pasuk Yidbeis. It says in the Pasuk, Vayizr Yitzchak Ba'aretahi. Now, Vayizr means he sowed, right? More loosely translated, he planted. And what does it say? Says Kedushas Yom Tov, it's a steer in the Pasuk. It says Vayizra, he sowed, replanted, Vayimtza, he found. How could that be? Zok to the Kedushas Yom Tov, an amazing thing. That we have to do our shtadlus. We have a chiyuv to do our shtadlus. We have a chiyuv to be Zorea. But in the end of the day, when it works out, it's Vayimtza. You found it. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a chiyuv to do hishtadlus. There's no question about it. But a person has to understand. And actually, the Ruch HaTzadikim, I tell you, he writes about this yisod, Bitochon HaSheni. He says, The Inyan Zehu HaGodol Shebin Yisrael Adam. This is one of the greatest challenges of man, to understand that our obligation to do Hishtadlus, the fact that we work and get a paycheck, are really, in reality, unrelated. We have a chiyuv to do Hishtadlus, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us the Parnasa. And that's what you see in that pasuk. V'yizra v'yimtza. You find it. It's mamish from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He quoted a story from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim once met a wagon driver. And the guy was crying. He said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "My horse died. And now I have no Parnasa. My horse died. So the Chafetz Chaim said to him, "You know, you're right. You should be crying. You know why? Because if you think it's the horse that gives you Parnasa, and nothing else can give you Parnasa, then you should talk and cry. But if a person understands, it was never the horse. The horse is only a medium for his sustenance. It was only a medium for his parnas. It all comes from Hashem. Harbei shluchim l'malkum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you, has taken care of you until now. He'll continue to take care of you. But if you put your trust, in the horse, so then you have what to cry about. Furthermore, I forgot who Rabbi Nachman quoted, but he says, Esav is, Isha de'atzayit. He knows how to hunt. So he's going to have parnas. He's going to have what to eat. And Yaakov is ish. He's sitting around, he's just learning. So in the beginning of the parsha, you worried about Yaakov. How's Yaakov going to survive? How's he going to have food? He's going to sit and learn all day? And Esav issued it tired. But what do we see at the end of the parsha? Who got the brachas for Parnasa? Yaakov even got the brachas for Parnasa. We think that, you know what? The person who's working the hardest, he's gonna get it. We don't know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's orchestrating everything. Interestingly enough, there's a letter from the Chazon Ish that there's an obligation to do a shtadlis. No question about it. A person has to do a shtadlis, but in the same vein, he has to understand that it's not the shtadlis that brings the success. Now, this is a little bit cute, but the Chazon Ish writes that a person should approach shtadlis bekrirus, which means with a certain coldness. Meaning, you don't have to go crazy. You do your shtadlis. So Rav Tzvi Meyer Zilberberg Shlita asks the Kashi. He says, "I don't understand. If it's a mitzvah to do a shtadlus, then how can it be bekrirus? How can you do it in a cold fashion? When you do a mitzvah, as everybody knows, Rav Tzvi Meyer is known to do, you do a mitzvah with excitement. How could it be that if doing a shtadlus is a mitzvah, that Chazon Ish says it's bekrirus?" So Rav Tzvi Meyer explains that the mitzvah of a shtadlus is to be done bekrirus, meaning part and parcel of the mitzvah is that it should be done with a certain coldness, right? And that's the pshat. So, yes, you do it in a mitzvah, but the excitement has to be with a kriyus, which means a person has to understand, I'm doing a shtadlus, I have an obligation to do a shtadlus, as it says, b'zeas apecha tocha lechem, with the sweater of your belt you will eat. You have an obligation, but a person has to approach that, and the part and parcel of the mitzvah is to understand that, in a certain, you have to be basically laid back to the extent that a person understands that it's not a direct result from your shtadlus, brings the Hatzlacha, but rather it's mamash from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The story about the Beis Halevi, a Talmud of the Beis Halevi came to the Beis Halevi, and the Beis Halevi says, "So what do you do?" And the man says, I own a sugar factory, that's how I have my parnasa." And a few minutes later, the Beis Halevi asks him again, "So Nu, what do you do?" He says, "Oh, I have a sugar factory, A few minutes later, he asks him again, "What do you do?" He says, "I have a sugar factory." So he says, the Talmud says, "Something's off here." The Beis Halevi says, "Something's wrong with the Beis Halevi." The Beis Halevi says, "No, something's wrong with you. What do you do? There's only one thing a person does. Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz m'yirat shemayim. I'm asking you, how's your shemayim doing? You're telling me the fact that you work or own a sugar factory, that's who you are? That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem decided to get, that's his job. That's not what you do. Hashem gives you parnasa through a sugar factory. That's not what you do. That's Hashem's doing. What you do is whatever your Shemayim. That's what you do. So you sold in life. What do we do? The one thing we have to do. We have our Iker Avoda is, and our Avoda is Hashem, and our Yer Shemayim. But Parnasa, that comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's number one. A side point, which is also an amazing thing, which I want to. He mentioned the Chasam Sofer. I actually didn't have the time to look it up inside. The Chasam Sofer asks a very simple question. He asks, how come Yitzchak was never? It was never revealed to Yitzchak where Esav was holding. Why not? What's the problem? He couldn't handle it? I mean, the truth is, he has emunah. He could have emunah, so he should be able to handle knowing that Esav was off the derech. So Chasam Sofer says that Lamaisa, one of the important things that Yitzchak had to do was give a bracha. And to give a bracha, you need to be b'simcha. And therefore, it was hidden from Yitzchok where Esau was holding, because perhaps it would taint his simcha, and he wouldn't be able to properly give the bracha. And how do we know this? This is the halacha. We know that a kohen who's be'avelos doesn't duchen. Why? Because he's not besimcha. You can only give a bracha with besimcha. So these yisod, this is a very important yisod when it comes to giving brachas, and certainly if davening for yourself, person has to be besimcha. Again, how do you live a life of simcha? This idea that you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of you. If a person really believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show and it's not his hishtadlus, so then you can live besimcha. Okay, that's the first part. The second part is that perhaps slightly more heavy, and that is that when the pasuk tells us Vayitzrotzu Abanim Bekirba, so Rashi tells us Vayitzrotzu Abanim Bekirba. At the end of that Rashi, it says Umarivin V'nachla Shnei Olamos. They were fighting over who is going to inherit the two worlds. Now, what two worlds are we talking about? We're talking about Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. That Yaakov says, "I want Olam Haba," and Esav is going to get Olam Hazeh. Now, furthermore, what does Rashi say about Rivka? What is Rivka concerned about? The words are, "V'telech l'rosh Hashem." Rivka asks; she seeks. She wants to find out. Seeks the explanation from Hashem. What does Rashi say? She yagilo matei v'sofa. What's going to be in the end? The only thing Rivka is focusing on is what's going to be with Olam Haba. What's going to be with Olam Haba? That's the ikar in life, and that's what Yaakov and Esav are fighting about. The ikar in life is Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh is fleeting. And Rabbi Malach Biderman quotes the way he presents the mashal. He says he knows a Rosh Yeshiva who knows this person, but it's Derech Mashal. Certainly Derech Mashal. I mean, I think maybe he got it from a contemporary Rosh Yeshiva. He was a very wealthy guy. He was a big developer, a big businessman, and he came, and he lived in a very cold area, and there was a big lake, and during the winter time, the lake froze over. And this big developer got permission from the city, from the mayor, to build a beautiful home on the ice. And people said to him, "What are you doing?" He said, "Listen, you hired workers, you hired contractors and contractors." Everybody said to him, "What are you doing? Like, you know that come February, March, May, this, you know, the lake will melt and the building will disappear, will go down under." So he said, "I don't care. I'm in charge over here. I'm in charge. We're building it, and that's it." So the months of December, January, February, the mamish worked day and night. They built a beautiful, beautiful home. And sure enough, came April, May, the whole house, beautiful, beautiful house, went down into the water. So that's the mashal. We think that the developer, the smart developer, is a fool. What a silly guy. Didn't he realize that after the winter, the lake melts and the house is gone? But says, I'm not sure who the source of the mashal is, says the source of the mashal, that's how we are, right? We understand, we go here, we try to amass, you know, material goods, we try to make a lot of money. Of course, you need certain you know, money to live. There's no question about it. A person has to understand this. No question about it. But the person's focus... What's his focus? Is his focus on things that are transient, things that are temporary, things that are Olam Hazeh, or is his focus on Olam Haba? Is an opportunity to properly, you know, to learn properly and to serve Hashem properly, or he's trying to make an extra buck, which all the Mamari Chazal, certainly Orcho Sadiqim, any source, and any source that deals with this topic says, there's no point. There's no point in doing extra status, because whatever you're supposed to get, is decreed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the Yisod. A person puts so much into Olam Hazeh, and then boom. I'll just say over the famous story, just in case nobody has ever heard it. Right? There's a wealthy guy who told his kids before he passed away, to bury him with the socks. And of course, there's another letter after the Shiva. So anyway, they went to the Rabbeim before the Kavura, and he said, "No, you can't bury with the socks." And then at the end of the Shiva, they opened up the other letter, and the other letter said, Of course I know that the rabbis wouldn't let you bury me with my socks. But I wanted you to know that you don't even take your socks with you. You take nothing with you. The only thing that matters, and this is what Rivka Meir was saying, matei v'sofa, everything is about the sofa. Now, again, this is a high madriga, but it's true. Just because, right, sometimes the truth hurts. The reality is, and obviously that's why it's called olam. Olam means hidden. Part of life, the real reality of life is hidden. And that's the challenge. I always say it. right? It's like having the varsity team playing the second graders. Of course it's not going to be easy. Of course that's not enjoyable and you don't grow. Of course it's going to be varsity against varsity and it's going to be challenging. Of course this world is challenging. You can't earn Olam Haba for nothing, right? You can't be like, oh, you know, it's so obvious that the only thing that matters is my Torah and Mitzvos and everything else is just baloney. Of course it's going to be a challenge. What, you want it to be, then it wouldn't be worth anything if it was too easy. It was so clear. It was so clear that having, you know, I don't want to get into specifics, but having you know $10 million and you know working like a dog to make $10 million instead of just having what you need to provide for your family is not what's necessary in this world. So then everybody would obviously it would be an easy choice. But the whole point is to have bechira chofshis where it's not so clear, and we have to understand and work through these challenges and realize that there's nothing else but Olam Haba. There's nothing else. And this is what Yaakov was zochet to. And we're children of Yaakov. We understand it's all about Olam Haba. And let me just quote to you a few lines from the Chovos HaLevavos, Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh. It's Perek Gimel, the 25th point. Cheshbon HaNefesh shall Adam la'asos la'asmo al shechodr l'libo avas Olam Haza. A person has to understand that he becomes very attached and very into Olam Haza. And what naturally happens to a person is that our goal and our desires for things in this world overtakes and overwhelms the reality and the true desire for Olam Haza. In order to remove from our hearts this love for this world, which is natural, one of the sodas of Cheshbon HaNefesh is to try as best as we can to work on ourselves to reduce our love for this world and to increase our love for Olam Haba. And that can only happen with thought, with real deep thought. Again, we're not, and we also understand that Ron Levi Steinman lived in a dilapidated house, barely ate, mamish, and he wasn't missing out on life. He wasn't. Again, obviously, he's on a different madrigo, as I tell. Different madrigo. But to a certain degree, we have to realize that. And if we're sitting and learning or chazering and we have an opportunity to go out and chill or do other things, it's not kedai. I mean, when you think about it like that, again, if you guys turn out to become people that learn 18 hours a day for the next few months, gewaldig. But the reality is, right? And that's another big yisod. Can you imagine that if I told you that Olam Haba is the desired, you know, should be the focus of your entire life, and there's one thing you can do for the next few months that is that anytime I ask you, you say, yeah, of course I'm doing the greatest for Olam Haba. So then what an amazing thing. So anytime you're sitting learning, you should know that this yisod that we just spoke about, that the most important thing in life is Olam Haba, you're doing it to the next. Can you imagine if I told you, I have a secret, I told you how important Olam Haba is and how unimportant Olam Haza is, and for the next few months you have an opportunity to wave that card saying, I'm doing the most for my Olam Haba? What an amazing opportunity. What a schus to sit here in yeshiva and have that opportunity. Anytime you're sitting and learning, and certainly if you're working hard and learning, it's even greater. But if you're sitting and learning, you are doing the best. They say over, I often say it over, they ask one of the Rebbes, what's the greatest mitzvah you ever do? And he says, whatever I'm doing right now. If you're in the middle of learning, you should just know you're doing the greatest thing you can do for Olam Haba. Greatest thing. So number one, L'maisa, a person has to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is decreeing how much money in your pocket, and even the things that are constant that you get used to, that you take for granted, it's mamash hikrash. There's plus quotes, right? I'll quote it again. Hikra Hashem Elokecha L'fanai. Everything you have, everything from the, I don't know, from the pencils in your hand, and from the socks on your feet to the car that you have, everything from A to Z, from big to small, everything is knowledge from Hashem. Number one, number two, the idea that a person wants to give a bracha and daven, you should be simple. Number three, this is so that we have one goal in life. Our goal in life is to earn and to reap the benefits in Olam Haba. Have a great Shabbos.